nation that would operate on godly principles different from other nations, and for whose sake and for the sake of the covenant that these men made with God, our nation has been blessed.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
I know that I look at Memorial Day in a little more expanded way, and I think everybody does. How many of you observe it as Decoration Day and go out to the cemeteries? How many of you only pay attention to the cemeteries of the gravestones of soldiers? That's what I thought. We go and we remember all our dead. If you look at that list that I put on the back of the bulletin, just those that we miss since my coming to Indian Run Christian Church is a long list. And certainly everybody here should make it and could make it a much longer list. Speaking of those who have departed and whom we miss and whom it is to be hoped we always do and always will remember. The Bible is consistent and it is pervasive throughout the topic of dealing with death. It is, as the New Testament phrases it, our chief enemy and the last one that will be broken and defeated and placed under the feet of Jesus Christ. Death, of course, it concerns us, and it concerns us on many fronts. We don't like the thought that we will die, but each and every one of us will, and the day is coming. In the meantime, we don't like living without those whom we have loved who have already died. And the Bible speaks to both of these issues. And today we will concentrate mostly on that last one. Those who are gone and whom we miss. And there are several reasons for which we should remember them. Reasons that I give this morning will not be at all comprehensive, but for one thing, we stand on their shoulders. And this is true in a variety of ways. It is true in the way that this holiday first and foremost celebrates. We stand on the shoulders of those who sacrificed their lives in military service. This was true in the Bible as well. The Israelites stood on the shoulders of Gideon. They stood on the shoulders of Barak. They stood on the shoulders of Samson. God chose one man after another who overcame their enemies. And we know that God's hand is the hand that actually works. But these were the men chosen. And these men, in unexpected but courageous ways, overcame the enemies of Israel and provided freedom for them. Not everyone who so blessed the nation survived the process. And those who did survive, soon enough, perished anyway, as is the lot of all men. But Israel had freedom. And in that most basic sense, they stood on the shoulders of those who had fallen. Now, this morning, as we dwell on just this aspect of it for a moment, I believe the research that says there are no families that have not been touched just a little by fallen soldiers. I will mention Paul Hart, my uncle, who perished in the service in the Navy back in the days of my youth. And I'll give you this opportunity, and nobody has to, but I mention Paul. Are there others who would like to mention a name to be remembered? Don't be shy. Willard Senior, Senior. We stand on these men's shoulders. Come November, we'll be doing a little more extended version of this kind of thing, and Scott will be overseeing that. But I tell you, for the moment, we stand on these men's shoulders. We have freedom, but it cost them their lives. It is true in other ways as well. I've picked three scriptures that carry the same theme. And if you want to do the research on this, you will find that these are not the only three, but just the three that I've selected. The first time that this happened was in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 12. Solomon had gone wrong. He had given his heart to foreign gods because of the wives that he married. And it's a sad and complicated story. But Solomon had gone wrong. And when the leader goes wrong, the nation soon follows. And Israel was drifting away from God. And punishment was due. And punishment was coming. But God said, I will have patience. At least a generation longer. I will not visit what is going to be done for another generation. I will have this patience, and I will have it for the sake of one individual who is no longer alive. You can name that man's name. Patience was extended to Israel for the sake of David. Now, David had his own problems. And I won't go into that whole thing right now, except to say that David always emerged from his problems with a repentant heart and a desire to see the glory of God more than anything else. And so David was called a man after God's own heart. And when the nation that followed after the covenant that God made with David was due for punishment, when David's own son was due for punishment, when everybody followed after him into the ways of sin and folly, God extended patience for the sake of David. The man after his own heart, now gone, one generation. If you skip forward a few chapters, 1 Kings 15, verse 4, you see the same phrase again, only it has nothing to do with Solomon this time. It has to do with another king after the judgment of the split kingdom had been visited after the days of Solomon. Another king had passed after that. And Abijam now sits on the throne. And Abijam had a good start, but then followed in the ways of his father Jeroboam, who set up the idolatrous worship of the golden calf in his competing temple. Abijam also had punishment coming. And the nation that followed after him had punishment coming. And God said that he would exercise patience once again for the sake of, guess what, individual? David. Now, four generations gone. Said that despite all Abijam's sins, God gives such an interesting phrase to me. God nevertheless gave him a lamp in Israel. And there's at least three meanings to that. One is that he did not allow Jerusalem to be conquered and the lamp, the sacred lamp in the temple, to be extinguished. The second, and perhaps more important, that goes along with the ceremonial aspect is that he did not allow the truth of the covenant that he had made with Israel to perish, and that light continued to shine. And the third is that he gave Abijam a descendant who would do better things than his father had done. But he did all this, contained in that phrase, nevertheless, despite all his shortcomings and sins, he gave Abijam a lamp in Israel for the sake of David, four generations gone. Just one more. If you go over to Psalm number 132, verse 10, one of the Psalms not written by David, written many generations later. And Israel has caught on to what God did these earlier times. And the psalm begs God to extend patience and grace to Israel one more time for the sake of David, now many generations. How many times was Israel blessed? How many times was patience and mercy and grace extended to them for the sake of this one man? Generations gone. They stood on his shoulders. In your family, you may be able to name such a man or woman, one for the sake of whose relationship with God blessings have continued through the generations. You stand on their shoulders. In our national history, we could name such men, men who covenanted with God for the formation of this new nation that would operate on godly principles different from other nations, and for whose sake, and for the sake of the covenant that these men made with God, our nation has been blessed. We stand on their shoulders. They are gone. We should not forget them or what they have done. Now, the third thing on this theme, and then I'll move on to my other points, it is also true in a more general, less dramatic sense that we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone. How many of you are financially better off today because of things your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents did? They bought land. They founded company. They paid month after month into life insurance policies. They saved. They did this. They did that. You are better off today because they did these things. You stand on their shoulders. How many of you, and here is the more important question, are morally and spiritually better off today because of decisions and things that your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents made and did? I certainly am, and I'm glad to see that there are others who feel the same way. Do you know who made sure you... Let me slow down. I get too excited about this. I will be 61 years old come July the 12th, which is sad. But in 61 years, you could count on one hand the number of Sundays in which I have not been in the house of the Lord. And there are pretty good reasons for it. In fact, you could, I wouldn't want to do it, but I think you could whack off one of these things and still count the number of Sundays in 61 years that I have not been in the house of the Lord. Later years, that has become my own decision. Do you know whose decision it was in those early years? It was my parents. And I have been blessed to go back and read the journal that my great-grandmother on my father's side kept for my great-grandfather on my father's side until she died early, and then his daughters, in turn, all continued keeping the journal. It ran for a few years from about 1935 to 1939 in there. And in it, I discover that my grandparents and great-grandparents made the same decision and got their family into the house of the Lord and kept them there. And that decision has made a difference in my generation. I stand on their shoulders. There are things that I know which have proved useful to me in my life. It's not that I haven't learned anything on my own, but do you know who taught me a whole lot of the things that are so useful to me in my life? Well, it was my parents. And you know who taught them? It was their parents. And you know who taught them? You get such a tremendous head start. We stand on their shoulders. And of course, I will not forget Dale and Ella, my immediate parents. Mom's still with us, by the way. But neither will I forget Vernon and Thelma, or Fred and Mamie, or Ross and Ole, or Jess, or Alice, or Bob, or Mommy Duff. She had a name. I don't know it. I could look it up. Or Sisma, her mother, who also had a name, and I could find it out. I barely remember her. I was such a little child when she died. We stand on their shoulders. Never forget what they have done for us. Secondly, first point, we stand on their shoulders. Secondly, the book of Hebrews assures us that they have joined the cloud of witnesses that now looks down upon us and which should serve as such a glorious encouragement to spur us on in our works. If it is not enough, for you to do everything to glorify Jesus Christ and serve your Father God, and that probably should be enough, but if that is not enough, know this, Larry, Amanda is still watching. Robert Sanders He's still got his eye on you, Scott. John has an interest in your doings, Kevin. They are the cloud of witnesses. My dad was such an encouragement to me in his life. It is an encouragement to me yet to think that he still wishes the best and wants me to walk the path of righteousness set out by Jesus Christ. One, we stand on their shoulders. Two, they have joined the cloud of witnesses, which serves to spur us forward. And three, to the text that I read, not the one that was on the screen, they are coming back, the dead. For the trump will be sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable. And we will be changed. We will know them again. Past all partings and sorrows, we will know them again. Do not forget them. Among other reasons for these three, you stand on their shoulders. They are part of the cloud of witnesses which spur you on. Coming back by the power of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Praise God. Never forget. And although I said I would concentrate on the latter thing, I will move now to the former thing. Also, never forget that it is appointed all men once to die, and then the judgment. And when is the acceptable time of salvation? Now is the acceptable time of salvation. You and I will also be called to join that cloud of witnesses. You and I will also leave a testimony of some sort behind us. And it is to be hoped that you and I will find participation in the great and glorious resurrection when the trump of Christ sounds. But those great potential blessings rest on a decision that you can make now if you have not already made it. To put your life in the hands of God through the grace that he extends in his Son, Jesus Christ.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.